Many Christian families, as we've seen on the news, have had to flee from where they live to escape. And yet Jesus says, I will build my church. When we watch the news and we see what's going on in the Middle East or North Korea or Nigeria, is this true? Is this true? Can I have the next slide? Or perhaps a little bit more closely to home. This is a church. I don't know if you can see it, but it's deserted. It's, in fact, it's falling to pieces. You can see that it's cordoned off. It's in decline. It's empty. No one's going to it anymore. It's abandoned. And perhaps we've driven past churches like that in England, in Colchester. Churches that have been turned into shops. Churches where people are no longer gathering. Is God building his church in England? Is this promise, I will build my church, coming true? I think as we look around the world, sometimes we're tempted to see, particularly in England and when we think about the Middle East, that this promise, I will build my church, in fact, isn't coming true at all. It looks as though the promise that Jesus made is in trouble. And so we're going to be thinking today, can we trust the God who made that promise to us? I will build my church, Jesus said. Can we trust him? And we're going to think, how are we going to think about whether we can trust him? We're going to look at promises he's made in the past, and we're going to see if he's kept those, to see if that's going to help us trust him for promises that he's made that we're trusting in today. So what I want us to do is turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, which is on page, let me pull it up, page 13 in the church Bibles. That's Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at three very quick verses. And we're going to see a promise that God made to a man called Abraham. Jonathan, can I have the next slide up just with a picture of Abraham? This is Abraham here, okay? And I'm just going to read Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. And this is a very famous promise that God made to this man, Abraham, here, okay? Starting in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, that was his name back then, he became Abraham a bit later on, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And here's the promise, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God makes this amazing promise to Abraham that he will make him into a great nation. Now, that seems pretty hard to believe at the moment because Abraham doesn't have any children. He's an old man. How on earth is this going to happen? And yet God promises this one man that he's going to turn him into a great nation. That's the promise. Let's see how that worked out. Okay, you don't have to turn there, but just keep that promise in your mind. And we're now going to be thinking just a little bit about Exodus. Now, we've been studying the Exodus, haven't we, as adults here, but also over in All Saints Club. So we're familiar with the story. Think about Exodus. What happens? I'm going to read from the first little chapter. We read that the Israelites, that's all of Abraham's descendants, were in Egypt and they were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And listen to this. They became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Jonathan, can I have the next slide? Okay, it's a visual picture just to kind of help us, but this is Abraham's descendants. There are loads of them. I just pressed copy and paste as many times as I could, and my hand got tired, and that's where I ended up. But there were loads of them. They were exceedingly numerous. The promise that God had made to Abraham looks like it's coming true, doesn't it? One man, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And here we go. This is all of Abraham's descendants. But there is a problem. Can I have the next slide? Does anybody know who this is? Hands up. Who have we got? Who is it? It's Pharaoh. Great. Does anyone know which Pharaoh this is? Maybe some of the adults might know this. Tutankhamun. It's Tutankhamun. Brilliant. Okay. This wasn't the Pharaoh when a group of us went to the British Museum a while ago and we learned that actually this isn't the Pharaoh that was there when Moses was around. But he's a great picture, isn't he, of a Pharaoh. So I thought I'd use him anyway. Pharaoh is a great problem for God's promises. Listen to what happens. He sees all of these descendants of Abraham growing so numerous. And he says this, look, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies and fight against us. So he gave the order to his people that every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Every boy that is born must go into the Nile, and yet every girl will live. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if this people are going to become exceedingly numerous and a great nation, to have Pharaoh killing all of the little boys is not going to help that happen, is it? So God's promises for the Israelites look like they're in trouble. They're in Egypt. God's promise is going to make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. And yet Pharaoh is killing all of the baby boys. God's promises are in trouble. But what does God do? What does God do? Can I have the next slide? It's a bit of a lame picture, but it's a picture of Moses with the burning bush. We thought about that, didn't we, as a church family? God calling Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. We sang about it in that song just before. Moses, God said to Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. We've seen Moses come. And the second thing we've seen, next slide, is the plagues. Now, little competition here. My throwing isn't great. I am going to do this, so I'm sorry if I should have probably got a health and safety check first, really. But I've got some sweets, okay? There are 10 plagues. I wonder, can people just put their hands up and tell me some of the different plagues? If you get it right, I will throw a sweet in your direction, okay? Let me just get my list so I can cross them off as we go. Okay, here we go. Right, go for it. What have we got? Blood in the river. That's the first one as well. Well done. Yeah, what have we got? Locusts. Brilliant. Well done. What have we got? Livestock getting killed. Great. What else have we got? Darkness. Fantastic. What else have we got? This way. Great. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Please do. This is good. What else have we got? Hailstones. Great. Well done. Gnats. Yeah. Lots of horrible gnats. Good. Yes. What else have we got? Frogs. Yeah. Lots of horrible frogs. There you go. Yeah. Snakes. Snakes. I don't know if there are any snakes. What? I haven't got snakes on my list. What else is there? But it's a great guess, okay? It weren't snakes. They weren't snakes, but it's a good guess. Anyone else? We've had you guys already. We need some other people. Are there people upstairs that I can't see? I can throw upstairs, probably. Yeah, great. What have we got? Darkness. Yes, well done. Darkness. Any others? Any other takers, particularly upstairs while I'm here, so I can throw up to you? Got it. Good. Sorry if I hurt somebody. Okay, yes, darkness. Wow, adults, anyone want to help out? No, that's fine. What else have we got? Okay, there were others. There was the Passover, which AJ is going to be thinking about over at Atesh Green and at Sunday at 6 this evening. Flies, they're kind of like gnats, aren't they? But they are a bit different. Boils. That's a pretty gross one, isn't it? Okay, boils, great. Anyway, so those are the plagues. There was a bit of a clue, actually, on lots of those, wasn't there? So those are the plagues. And God used the plagues to rescue his people. He brought judgment on Israel in order to take his people out from Egypt so they could go and worship him. And the last thing that God did was he parted the Red Sea. I'm just going to read very quickly from a psalm which just summarizes really all that God did to rescue his people. Do you remember, Pharaoh is opposing the promises of God. Oh, I'll make you a great nation, he said, and yet Pharaoh is killing all of the baby boys. So what does God do? He rescues his people from the land. I'll just read a couple of verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, that's what we see in that picture, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. This is the end of the first part of our talk, but I just want you to see what we've seen so far, which is that this promise that Jesus made, I will build my church, can we trust him? Well, we've seen that the promise God made to Abraham came true. Even in the face of great opposition from Pharaoh, God rescued his people. We can trust him. We can trust him. So we're going to sing a song, which is, I think, in our Mission Praise books, and it's number 825, Faithful One, okay? It's one that apparently we haven't sung since 2007, which was a long time ago, so I'm hoping that you guys have got good memories. The band are going to play it through once to begin with, and then we're going to stand together and sing it, okay? So they'll play it through once just to get it in our minds, and then we're going to stand together and sing. And it's a song about God's faithfulness, that we can trust him when he makes promises to us. Okay? So the band will play, and then we'll stand up and sing once they've played it through once. Okay? Take a seat, thank you. So we've asked the question, does God keep his promises? When we look at the world around us and see the promise that Jesus made, I will build my church, and we doubt whether that's true sometimes, can we trust him? And we've looked back and we've seen that we can trust God because of what he's done in the past. He's kept his promises. He's made them and he's kept them. And I'm just going to ask Alex Leggett to come up now and do our second reading. And as we listen to this reading, I want us to think, how does this help us further trust God who makes promises? So Alex, thank you. Do tell people where it is as well.
So the second reading is from Revelation chapter 7, starting at verse 9. So that's Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 9, which you can follow through on page 1238. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Do keep that passage open. We've looked back and we've seen that God has kept his promises in the past. Wouldn't it be much easier to trust somebody when they made a promise to you, if you could look forward into the future and see that that promise had come true? Wouldn't that help you now to trust the person that had made that promise? If we had a glimpse of the future. And that is exactly what we're given in this passage in Revelation. It's a glimpse of the future. John, one of Jesus' closest friends, was given a glimpse of where the whole of world history is heading. And it's heading in this direction. A great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lord Jesus and worshipping him. That's where the whole of history is headed. And so I want us to see that the promise that Jesus made, let's see if I can build it on my own this time, "I will build my church," is a promise that we can have absolute confidence in. Not only because when we look backwards, we see that God is a God who keeps his promises, but also as we look forward. You see, I think we're tempted when we look at the world around us and we see the situation that's going on in the Middle East with ISIS, and we think, how on earth is this true in the Middle East? God tells us that it is. And amazingly, do you know that amazingly, when God's people are persecuted, that tends to be when the church grows the most. Some amazing figures I read this week. In 1949, all of the missionaries in China were kicked out. Many Christians were rounded up and put in prison. Some were killed. And people thought there is no way that Christianity has a future in China. There were fewer than, I think, something like 200,000 believers. Sounds like a lot to us, but considering how big China is, it's nothing. No missionaries were allowed in. Christians, it was illegal to be a Christian and to meet. And yet, in 2010, conservative estimates of the number of Christians in China exceeded 50 million. In the face of great persecution, God is building his church. If you read the newsletter from Sandy Russell, you will know that in the midst of all that's going on in the Middle East, the promise that "I will build my church" is coming true in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, as they come to trust in Jesus for themselves. God is growing his church. Nothing can stop it. And as we look around us at the world today in England, and we see these empty church buildings, and we think, does Christianity have a future in England? I think we have to look at that glimpse of the future that John had. A glimpse of the future where an uncountable number of people were standing before the throne worshipping Jesus. Long after, and I don't know what the future of the world is, but long after, oh, I know part of it, but not all of it, but long after we finished speaking English, I mean, you know, massive languages have died out. Greek, Latin, they've gone. English maybe one day won't be spoken as a language. Long after that, long after Britain exists as a country, long, you know, in the future, who knows what's going to happen, but we know this. The church will be built. There will be an uncountable number of people worshipping Jesus on that last day. We've got a glimpse, it's certain. And we can look back and we see that the God who makes promises keeps them. So I hope that encourages us in the week ahead. I hope that encourages us as we watch the news and as we see the state of Christianity in England, that we aren't disheartened, but we trust these simple words that Jesus says, I will build my church. And we pray that that would come true, not only in our lives here in Fordham, but in England and in the world, as we share the good news about Jesus with others. Let me pray for us as we end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful promise Jesus made. I will build my church. And we pray that so often when we're discouraged looking at the state of Christianity in England and thinking about all that's going on in the world, that we would cling on to that promise and know that you are a God who is faithful. You make promises and you always keep them. Help us to long for that day when we will stand before the throne, worshipping Jesus with brothers and sisters from around the world, so many of whom we just can't even count them. Help us to long for that day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What have we got next? We're going to pray now. If you could take up your service cards, I'm going to move this just so that it's not in the way, but don't consider this promise any less certain because of what I'm about to do. There we go. You could take up your service cards. We're going to say the family prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Let's say these words together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Leggetts family are going to come and lead us in prayers now. Thanks, guys.